You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Last year, the Minister of Trade proposed sweeping amendments to the Copyright Act in Bill C-61 that would have changed your digital life. There were grassroots protests to these changes, and then Bill C-61 died when the federal election was called in October of last year. This year, the Canadian government consulted with Canadians on the issues around copyright and intellectual property. Those consultations ended in September. But it seems that the Canadian government has been secretly negotiating something called the Anti-Counterfeiting Trade Agreement, or ACTA. A draft document released on the whistleblower site WikiLeaks suggests that counterfeiting isn't the major focus of this trade agreement. Jeffrey Glass is the coordinator for the Vancouver chapter of Fair Copyright for Canada, and he joins us in the studio. Hello, Jeffrey.
Hello.
Since ACTA is being negotiated in secret, we can't know what's in it. What do you think is in the agreement based on the leaked documents?
Well, there have been a number of leaks and some confirmations, but it's all under negotiation right now. So again, we don't know exactly what's in it, but there are strong indications that there's a lot of copyright in it, which isn't the same as counterfeiting. A lot of copyright measures. Part of it appears to be an attempt to extend the United States copyright regime to most of the Western world, perhaps, because that seems to be who's involved in the agreement, including things like prohibiting circumvention of copy protection measures and prohibiting whole classes of technology that would let you copy things. Also, there appear to be measures to make ISPs and intermediaries not exactly liable for what's on their websites and so on, but to force them to take certain measures to prevent copyright infringement. And one of the suggestions, at least in one of the leaked documents, was that it would include kicking people off the internet for a year if they're accused of copyright infringement. So that's one of the things that's being proposed that ISPs could do in order to avoid liability.
If they're accused, not if they're found to be guilty in any way.
That's right.
Now, what administrative procedures does the trade agreement contain to ensure fairness in copyright disputes, say, with an internet service provider?
I don't know the details of the treaty again, but the leaked documents don't talk about sort of the other side of this. Mm-hmm. They talk about how do we strengthen copyright, how do we ensure that infringement doesn't happen. I think there's a suggestion that there's some protection for fair use, but if you say we're going to protect people's ability to use content for legitimate purposes, but then you have specific measures to say things they can't do, I'm not sure that that's much more than words. And circumvention is perhaps one of the bigger problems. Because what that means is you're unable to copy material whether or not the use is legitimate. So if you want to criticize something, you want to criticize material from television or from a DVD or from some other digital source, and whoever distributes that material has placed a lock on it, you can't quote that material, you can't excerpt it. Even though that might be legal, the technology to even copy it would be banned.
You mentioned technologies before, whole classes of technologies which are going to be prohibited. What kind of technologies?
That's the kind of technology, the technology that would let you copy things that have been locked down by the rights holder or the distributor. I'm trying to think of a good case. With DVDs, there's actually already copy control technology on DVDs. And if you wanted to criticize or critique a DVD or use it for educational purposes or research or so on, and this law was in place, the ability to copy the DVD would be controlled by whoever published the DVD. In a sense, it allows them to create private law. They can leverage copyright to determine exactly what you can do with that content. We've had a proposal last year in Canada, the bill that was proposed then, it appeared would have made it illegal to unlock your cell phone. That was copyright law stopping you from using a different cell phone provider, say when you travel abroad. So what it allows is digital devices can have any software in them that can control how you can use the device. And this copyright law could make it impossible to do what you want to do and to work around that technology. It has nothing to do with whether it actually infringes copyright. So that's the case in the United States, and they seem to be trying to push that to the whole world.
And what is the rationale behind bringing this approach to intellectual property rights?
Well, the United States, actually, there's the man who architected the law in the United States 10 years ago, that implements many of these measures, said that the United States actually made a conscious decision in the 1990s to shift from manufacturing to high-margin production of things like software and culture. So the United States obviously makes a lot of money exporting music, Hollywood movies, software, and so on. They don't make so many cars anymore. And so it's definitely in their interests to solidify their position on this production. So if we're Canada and we make a deal with the United States that we're going to ensure this kind of control, it gives a lot of control to whoever controls the technology, and Hollywood controls the content over what people can create. And in fact, if they use this law to control the technology, they can control the channels of distribution. You know, if you see an anime movie from Japan, it often says Disney at the front, even though Disney had nothing to do with making that movie except for the voices that were added afterwards. I believe if you want to release a movie from the rest of the world to Canada and the United States, and you want to get access to the distribution channels, the cinemas, you need to go through the channels that are in place. And I think that we risk having similar things put in place for other culture.
And how will this trade agreement, if it is passed or if it goes through, how will it affect artists who may want to use copyrighted materials as part of their art?
I think there are two obvious risks. The first is a lot of artists, particularly more innovative artists, I think in many cases, will take existing material and tweak it to make something interesting. So they'll take a corporate logo and they'll change it to make a comment about the corporation. Or they'll take a bit of video and do something satirical with it. If that video is protected by a lock, the legislation that this agreement would require would make it illegal to do that. The other problem is there's a real problem with censorship. Because by requiring intermediaries to be liable if their services are used for copyright material, say you're YouTube and somebody puts up a video that someone accuses of violating copyright, then under these measures, YouTube might be required to take it down, even though what you're doing is legitimate. This has happened in the States many times, that copyright accusations have been used in order to achieve censorship. And it's easy to send out an accusation, say such and such is a violation of copyright. You tend to need a team of lawyers to prove that what you're doing is legitimate and get it back up again.
Now the pretense for all of these agreements, these meetings, is counterfeiting, and it's supposed to be dealing with counterfeiting. What rules exist in Canada already to deal with counterfeiting?
Well, counterfeits are illegal. I mean, I think we had a case just last week where the RCMP shut down a major counterfeiting operation. I don't recall the details, but it's already illegal. And ACTA, I haven't seen a lot about actual counterfeiting provisions in there other than border controls, where border officials would be able to, by their own judgment, determine whether counterfeit goods are entering Canada. But, of course, under ACTA, that includes copyrighted goods as well. And it looks as if material that a border official believes is infringing, that they could impound it or even destroy it without any liability based on accusations.
So counterfeiting is really a kind of side issue.
There is a real problem with counterfeiting. I know that I saw some statistics from the music industry a few years ago showing that they were losing more money to counterfeiting than they were to the file sharing and online infringement by ordinary people. But this trade agreement seems to be focused mainly on the intellectual property copyright provisions. And things about requiring ISPs to potentially monitor people's activity or digital locks provisions will have no effect on on counterfeiting that I can see.
I guess one of the questions we can always ask is follow the money. So I guess that leads to the question, who's going to benefit from these new copyright laws?
Well, if you follow the money, I do know that these negotiations are intensely secret. It's amazing how secret they are. They've been going on for a couple of years now, and if our government signs on to them, then we're going to be told that we have international obligations, but right now we don't even know what those obligations might be, too. We might end up signing something without the Canadian people knowing what it's about. So although this is intensely secret, and although the Obama administration, there was a freedom of access to information request to see the actual document, and something similar happened in Canada, in both cases virtually nothing was released. But there are private parties who have seen the negotiating documents, and that includes large media corporations in the United States. So, you know, Hollywood, the recording industry, big software companies, many of them know exactly what's going on in this negotiation. But it's called a national security question whether anybody else can see it. And they control currently a lot of the content and the channels for distribution to that content. And measures that increase that control, which this is likely to do, make it much more difficult to compete with them. So for small artists or even simply Canadian firms, I think it will be more difficult to compete if we give a lot of advantages to entrench the existing players, mostly from the U.S.
Now listening to what you're saying, I wonder, are these companies, are these governments, are they panicking in reaction to the openness of the Internet and all these new technologies?
Well, I don't think our politicians are all scheming to take away our freedom to communicate. I suspect a lot of them don't understand what's happening, and they have frequent meetings with people from these organizations who say, look, we're going to go out of business, and copyright is the foundation of the new economy, and if you don't protect this right now, our economy is going to go down the tubes, which I think is absolutely untrue. But I suspect that, yes, that that's what they're hearing, and they're told that this is what needs to be done. That isn't to say that I think all politicians are honest about this.
And what are some of the alternatives to this style of protecting intellectual property?
Well, first I want to say that what we've seen so far with the United States is that this approach didn't work in terms of stopping the infringement by private individuals. You know, the file sharing didn't stop despite judgments in the order of $1.9 million in one case for someone who shared 24 songs. Banning the technology to copy DVDs and so on didn't stop them from being copied. But it does have an effect on the ability of small independent artists to create, because they can't run around breaking the law. You know, my son, when he's old enough to use the technology, I don't know if I'll be able to stop him. I will try from infringing copyright. But if you're an artist, you want to release your work publicly, you could be in trouble. And I think in the long run, actually, this kind of approach will harm the ability of corporations like Disney to make new material, because oftentimes a lot of the most creative work comes from outside the big corporations and businesses, and they buy it to bring it in-house. And if that sort of ecosystem of small, innovative creators is inhibited because there are a lot of legal complications and things they're not allowed to do, I think that, in fact, what we need to do is find new channels for artists to distribute their works, explore new ways for them to make money. And actually, I know there have been a lot of culture cuts in BC. I mean, this negotiation is federal. A lot of cultural cuts in BC, I think if we fund culture intelligently, that might also be a good way to encourage this ecosystem, ultimately benefiting everybody.
All right, Jeffrey, thanks for coming in and updating us on this significant issue.
Thank you.
I've been talking with Jeffrey Glass of Fair Copyright for Canada about the anti-counterfeiting trade agreement being negotiated in South Korea. The website for Fair Copyright for Canada is www.faircopyrightforcanada.ca.